Okay, everybody ready to go? And we have prizes, by the way, tonight. So if you do really well, there's a chance of you getting a Quest Pro 10. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. A little humor here. Come on in. David's going to have an opening prayer for us, and we're going to get started. And I know everybody worked on the assignment, so we're going to have lots of dialogue as Dave yawns.
Sorry.
That's okay. Big day today. We're all feeling it. We all understand.
Okay. Dear Lord, we thank you for our day, and we thank you, Father, for every blessing that you showered on us. We are especially thankful for the spiritual blessings that you've given to us through Christ Jesus. And we, as we begin our evening study tonight, we pray, Father, that you look down on us in tender love and mercy, forgive us of every sin and shortcoming that we have before you. We pray that you hear our prayers. Thank you, Father, for Christ Jesus, and we thank you that you have given us so much through him. We thank you for your word and for the reconciliation that we have to you through obedience to Christ. And we pray, Father, that as your children and his disciples, that we'll be the kind of people that will devote ourselves to learning your will for us. And we pray, Father, that for our young parents, or for our parents who are raising young children, we pray, Father, that they will raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We pray that we can each use the opportunities that we have to influence our children regarding spiritual things, that we'll take advantage of them. We pray you'll give us insight into their spiritual needs, that we will always devote ourselves to making decisions for our kids that serve their spiritual best interests. And we pray, Father, that we can help one another as we face the different challenges and questions in our lives. And we pray that we can glean from your word the things that you would have us do as parents. And we pray that we will commit ourselves to put into action the instructions that you give us through your word. Please bless West End, Father. We pray that you would bless our labor in the kingdom. We pray that each of us may be active and effective and productive in the kingdom. And we pray that just as we commit ourselves to teaching your word to our children, that we will be just as committed to sharing it with others that we meet along life's pathway. We know, Father, that your word is the only thing that will save the souls of men and women. And we pray that we will recognize that our battle is against dark forces and the spiritual world, and that we'll always bear in mind that we ourselves need to love and obey you, and we need to teach our children the same thing. We pray, Father, you'll be with Jim as he leads us in our class tonight. We thank you for every physical blessing that you give us, and we pray that we will live in such a way as to bring glory to you in everything that we do. We pray all these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, we have that announcement that I gave you. I want to tell them about that. Just give the special attention to that, too. So, Dave Banning is going to be here for our gospel meeting, and that's going to be September the 8th through the 11th. And we're really looking forward to him being here for us then. But in talking to David and getting that all lined up and having some conversations just about things going on in the church right now in the discussions with the elders, we basically have got him. He's going to do another class, and it's going to be on Saturday morning. And it's going to be on the topic of the plague of pornography. And he's going to do a class just for men, and then his wife is going to do a class just for women. And Heidi's class is going to be helping your husband to be pure. So that is going to be on the morning of the 7th at 9. It's going to be about 2 hours And really, you know, I was asking, I said, okay, so we know that that, from an issue standpoint, begins to affect especially young men even more than young women at an early, early age. And, you know, it's like once they got a cell phone in their hand, they've got access, easy access, to the possibility of viewing porn. So, you know, we're going to encourage, you know, that you think about, you know, young men in your families that makes sense for them to be able to process some of that and hear some of that information. But that's going to be the 7th at 9 a.m. Stephen Ogden's going to make a slide for us. We're going to put it on social media. We're going to invite the community. You know, it's for us. It's for anybody. But the other thing that we'll probably try and figure out is we can get some folks to help with babysitting, because hopefully we'll have a lot of folks that need help with taking care of kids. So put that on your calendar. Don't miss that. That'll be really good. David's talked this a number of times from what he told me, and we look forward to being with him for all of that. Okay, so on to what we are talking about now, and that is... what's this lesson about? It's about how we use our time, isn't it? I mean, isn't that one way you can look at this lesson? Right? Everybody got a copy of the lesson. What's the text? What's the Bible text that I used last week on Sunday morning, right, at the first of the week, to try and kind of get us thinking in the right direction with regard to the importance of study and putting some structure in your home with regard to study with your children?
2 Timothy
2.15. 2 Timothy 2.15. And what are some of the really important points that we pulled out of that? You don't have to read it, but what are some of the things that we felt like were really important that we needed to focus on as far as study goes?
Diligence.
Okay, diligence. That we've got to make a focused commitment to it. It's got to be something that's a regular part of what we've got going on, okay? And that's for the parents, and that's for the kids being involved too. What else? Anything? I'm going to add one. Structure. T-R-U-C. Yeah. If I start trying to write and talk at the same time, right on this spell. But structure, I think there's got to be structure. I think you've got to set time aside for it, and you've got to plan for it, and you've got to be committed to it. It's got to be something that everybody thinks is important. It's got to be a priority. If it's not a priority, if it's not a priority for mom, if it's not a priority for dad, why is it going to be a priority for the kids? Okay? Okay, you know, here's the other thing. This is what I want to talk about tonight. We talked a little bit about it again on Sunday morning. When do you start doing this? What did we talk about with regard to when you start doing this?
Now,
I mean, it doesn't make any difference how old your kids are. It doesn't make any difference if you are still anticipating kids. And why is that important?
It's not just for your kids.
No, it's not exactly, John. It's not just for your kids. It is for you to begin to establish those habits and say that it is important and that you are diligent and that you want to understand what it is God expects of you, and you're going to do your best to learn that, for you to know it, but also for your kids to be able to see it's a priority for you as well. Because if they don't ever see us given any time to study, why is it going to be important to them? So hopefully you went home and you looked at this sheet and you did like I asked you to, and that was talk about this. Talk about spending time, wasting time, investing time, weekly Bible study, monthly Bible study plan, focusing on goals for the year. What were some of the ways that we said we could figure out what topics would be? And let me ask that question first. Did you go home and talk about topics not only for the rest of this month, but for the month of September. So, what is that, 6 weeks, roughly? 6 weeks worth of topics? Would anybody be willing to share some topics for me for the course of 6 weeks? Dave?
We're talking about some things that we feel like our kids need to work on. Listening.
Okay.
Obeying whenever we tell them to do something. Obeying the first time without having to tell them a bunch of times.
Okay.
Serving others, showing love.
Okay.
Making sure God is the most important thing. God is the priority.
Okay.
And having patience.
Okay. Awesome. That's great.
The golden rule.
What's that?
The golden rule.
Okay.
Because they fight quite a bit. So.
They're brothers and sisters. So there was another one too that I was looking at that I was going to bring up as well. But I want to get Colossians 3:12. It gives several in there that I think we could include in there. Those are great. Basically, Dave, thank you. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. So long-suffering, I think about some of what you got going on up here already. Kindness, I think about, you know, love and serving others. And then I think about that meekness and humility, putting God first. And so you're all over Colossians 3:12. You didn't even know I had that scripture picked. But that scripture came up in a devotional study that I was looking at as part of the day. And it was one that's called Intentional Living that's in that Bible app that David has been pushing and talking about how important that is. The other thing that I would encourage you to do on that Bible app too is invite others to participate. Invite others to participate where you're kind of sharing it with each other and it gives you the opportunity to kind of be on the same page, and it even gives you the ability to have that conversation with somebody else about that issue that's important, about that opportunity of what we need to be thinking about and trying to take and apply to our lives. David?
I've got some other topics if you're ready.
Okay, sure.
This is from Philippians 4, verse 8.
Okay.
Finally, brethren, whatever is true,
uh-huh,
whatever is honorable,
okay,
whatever is right,
okay,
whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute,
okay,
if there is any excellence or if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. It's a passage of scripture that tells us what to think about. And really, that'll be an exercise for us to think about what all those things are, and how we identify them, and how we think of them.
Yeah, yeah. Dwell on these things. I mean, again, I think that's one of those things we just don't do like we should. I don't think we meditate enough on some of these things and how they manifest themselves. But again, as we think about these topics, what, anybody else got other topics you want to add to that?
I don't have like the shortest phrase for it, but the actions speak louder than words.
Okay. Let's see. Okay.
And then right. Also, I think, I guess, some of ours. We did the fruit of the Spirit, too. We're going to do each of those. But also, we thought it would be good to teach the children, like, what God wants in man and what God wants in woman.
Okay.
So that they know their individual responsibilities.
Okay. You know, right here on this one, right here, actions speak louder than words. What's a scripture that comes to mind to you when you think about that scripture right there?
1 John 3:18.
What's that?
1 John 3:18.
1 John 3:18. That's not the one I was thinking about, but that doesn't matter. There's lots. What's another one that you would think about as it relates to actions and words? And maybe I'm a little off, but man, I'm thinking about James. I'm thinking about, you know, show me your faith by your works. And I think that has a lot to do with it because it's our faith is revealed in our works a lot of times, in my mind. Okay, what else? What else got? Brittany and John.
Something we've done with Mia is as she started preschool, so every week they're going to be studying a different letter.
Okay.
And we came up with our own Bible ABCs that's going to go along with her weekly letter.
Great.
So some of them are characters, some are stories, like the fiery furnace. Some are,
yeah.
I guess it's kind of more stories at her age, stories and characters.
Yeah.
And as they get older, you can add that into concepts and
Quotation scriptures. Love it. Love it. You know, the only thing that I would say is, I really harped on this. I think sometimes we say Bible characters, and we show them these cartoon figures of historical people that really lived. And I don't want to be too crazy on that, but I don't want them to think it's a cartoon character, that Moses is a cartoon character. Moses was a real person that lived and breathed just like, but this is the picture we're going to show you of Moses today, right? But I know what you mean, but I'm just planting that thought in your heads too as it relates to how you phrase things that you say to your kids. Because when they think of characters, they're used to thinking of Aladdin and the genie and whatever. So, John or Noah, one of y'all, had your hand up?
Scratch my head.
Sorry.
Sorry, I want you to say I quit saying... we're going to listen to this Bible story. I quit using the context of story because they hear that so much at school about, you know, not at school, but on TV about, you know, like the story of...
Is it real?
The three little bears and all that.
Right, you know? Right. And so that's the thing that I'm just saying, be conscious of and aware of. That's a great... The ABCs associated with what they're doing at school. That's fantastic. Did you have anything else? I mean, that's enough right there. I mean, that probably gets you...
Six months.
No, it is. I mean, that's fantastic. And that's really good. What else?
We did the. We're gonna do the first one, fruit of the Spirit, each week.
Okay.
And then Second Peter 1, and we're gonna do the same type thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Who else? Somebody else threw their hands up back here.
We had grumbling, like don't grumble or complain.
Okay.
That one, you know, you could, I'm sure there's verses about that, but you could also just tell them stories about like the Israelites complaining and what happened to them. And that one, this is also self-incriminating because then you can't complain the whole week either.
Yeah, excellent. No, that's good. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. I know one family that went to One Stone and bought all the series of Becca cards. There's a big pictorial to your point about cartoon characters. These are drawings of people.
Okay.
Not cartoon characters. And a lot of kids learn visually, so this, you know, depending on what the subject matter is. Yeah, I'm too. And it helps to have a picture. In fact, my mother used the Egomars when I was a child. And when I think of a Bible story today, I always think of those gorgeous colored lithographs they have in Egermeyer's. So if you have an Egermeyer's, use that. But anyway, the Becca cards are wonderful.
Okay. And what about who participated in putting together the Bibles at Becky Lair's house? So tell me about that resource and how you think that's going to be beneficial in this study, in picking a topic for the week, in getting a routine established. How might that also be helpful? And I know there's more still yet to do that, but somebody tell me what you think about that and how it's going to help.
It's going to be a big help. You know, just going through, you can, it's so easy to find the verses you need to find, you know. I mean, our kids may not fully grasp yet, but...
You do.
We do, yeah.
So, you know, what it takes is just diligence, structure, when you're going to do it, and a commitment to doing it on a regular basis. It's important. It's going to happen. Doesn't matter. Some other things might not happen this week, but that is going to be something that's going to happen. And that's the way you've got to be. And again, it doesn't, like I said last week, it doesn't matter how old your child is. Now is the time. It's good for you, but it's also good for them, and it's good for you to get in that habit. No.
Well, it's also teaching, like, even with the study Bible, having it tabulated and highlighted, you're teaching the child to go through the Bible. You can tell them, like, okay, go to the yellow tab, look for the yellow highlighter, and we'll read it together. And so they can learn how to navigate the Bible. And then as they get older, you can tell them Genesis and things like that, go to Numbers. But it's also teaching them how to look in the Bible and find what you need.
One of the greatest books from a wisdom standpoint in the Bible is Proverbs. And if you don't mind, go over to Proverbs for just a minute with me. And I've got a list, and if anybody brings any more scriptures to the table tonight that we want to add, I'm adding some as I go, but I've got 5 pages of scriptures that I've got put together so far, and I'm going to see if we add any more tonight, and then I'm going to print those and hand them out to you on Sunday. Proverbs is just absolutely filled with such, you know, fundamental wisdom in how you as parents approach providing the insight that the Bible offers to your children, to us too, but to your children. I mean, I just look at, Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father and don't forsake the law of your mother. They will be graceful ornaments on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast your lot among us. Let us have one purse. My sons, do not walk in the way of them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they will lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives, and so are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. The next verse goes into, in the first chapter, goes into wisdom and whether you seek wisdom. You go to the second chapter, it says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek for his silver and search for his hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. What's that talking about? That's talking about exactly what we're saying right here. If you diligently commit yourself to understanding God's word and taking it and applying it to your life. For the Lord gives wisdom in verse 6. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the ways of his saints. And then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. And on and on and on. Chapter 3 is one of my favorite ones right there at the beginning and down through about verses 8, 9. It's just hard to know where to stop. My son, do not forget my law, but keep your heart by my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with all your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. And like I said, there's just so much there, and there's so much to be found. And as you begin to take those verses and look at them yourself, and you think about, what am I going to carve out of this? What am I going to try and get my child to understand from a very early age about how important wisdom is and where that wisdom comes from? And if we take it and apply it to our lives the way it's intended, everything's going to be okay.
All of that is written in the context of Proverbs 1, verse 7. And I was just thinking, when he says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, fools despise wisdom and instruction. How do we identify a fool? He's the one. It's not that that guy's a fool, so he's going to ignore it. It's whoever ignores it or despises wisdom and instruction.
Yeah.
That means you're foolish. If we ignore this instruction, we are living foolish.
Yeah. And you choose one or the other. I mean, you either choose the wisdom that God has to offer, or you choose to be a fool.
Yeah.
And if, as parents, we're not preparing ourselves to create the kind of environment that our kids need, then we're preparing them to be fools. So it is up to each and every one of us, and we've got to hold each other accountable. Husband to wife, wife to husband. But in reality, where's the primary weight fall in this spiritual responsibility as it relates to your kids?
Husband and dad.
The father. Dads, that weight rests squarely on your shoulders. And what if you say, well, I just don't feel qualified to be able to do that?
Don't be doing that.
What's the answer to that?
Too late.
Too late, that ship's already sailed. But now, all kidding aside, you absolutely can do it. And it's just because of the very thing that we just read just a minute ago in Proverbs. You know, because you want to please God. And you want to let God be revealed through who you are and how you live. And you want to see that in and for your kids as well. So there's not a dad in this room that can't do that. He just has to make up his mind that he wants to do that. And is committed to doing that. And makes the time for doing that. And again, I'll be the first to say that I've not done as well as I should have at times in my life. It's real easy to let things get in the way, guys. It's real easy to let those responsibilities of taking care of your family, which are important, get in the way of making sure that this happens the way it should on a regular basis. Anybody else on any of that? Okay, so we talked about topics for the week, all right? So what about this other thing that we're talking about? What about focusing on goals for the year? What about goals for the rest of this year? 2019. Somebody share something they talked about with regard to goals. Did y'all have a chance to do that? You know, it's just like when the elders go and we have our planning meeting, which we've got coming up in just a few weeks. You know, what we try and do is we kind of try and set a theme, and then we've got, you know, people that are going to be doing meetings. We look at the curriculum for the whole year from an adult class standpoint. We do all those things from a planning standpoint so that there's some intention in what we do there. What about your family? Anybody talk about any goals yet? For your families? No, not yet. Okay, so what about the monthly Bible study plan that we talked about? Trying to have something in place with regard to what you're going to do. Now, everybody, I appreciate the topics. Is there a specific structure that anybody's talked about? How you do that, or what day of the week you do it, or how you're going to make sure that it gets that time on a regular basis? Dave?
We try to do it every day, you know, every evening before they go to bed.
Okay. So daily. And when you do that on a daily basis, are you continuing to focus on some of these things that you talk about here, or one thing for the week, or what are you doing?
We're going to start doing, you know, doing this. We've got a little, you know, little kid's Bible that we read.
Okay.
But we're going to change that up a little bit.
Okay, good. Well, that's good. That's awesome. Anybody else? You do it at a regular time?
They usually go to bed between 8 and 8:30, so it's usually before that.
So you just structure the time before they get ready to go to bed. Mm-hmm. And that way you can, because they're going to go to bed, so you try and just plan that time ahead.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's good from a scheduling
standpoint. Because we'll say the prayers, you know.
Yeah, and that's practical. That's a quiet time. Everything else is kind of shut down. You've got the ability to kind of get them focused, mm-hmm, as you're trying to get them to gear down too. And that's good as well. Anybody else got any other ideas on that? Gary?
Bible study after dinner. Everybody's going to be around the table.
Okay. But again, it's just getting everybody to be committed to it and saying it's what we're going to do. Anybody else? John?
So we have something. We haven't really incorporated Thomas in yet, but we determined that we were going to study together the missionary journeys on Tuesday nights.
Okay.
Thursday nights, we're going to have like an extended prayer together.
Okay. That's awesome. That's really good. Having a plan. And so is that really kind of focused at...
Yeah, so our goal is to be done with missionary journeys by the end of the year. And then we each have our own individual goals, and we have goals for Thomas as well.
And if you did not do this for this, what would you be doing at that time otherwise?
Probably still trying to finish that.
No, but if you weren't focused on something like biblical, spiritual.
You're saying if we didn't have a goal, what would we be doing?
Yeah.
Probably not that.
Yeah, watching TV, on your, looking at your phone, reading, looking at whatever. Right? Guaranteed. Anybody else? So I'm telling you, I mean, I may be wrong, but it's a little bit of a mindset change to say this is going to be something that's going to be regular, it's going to be executed, it's going to be something we're going to be committed to, it's something we're going to do on a regular basis. If you go to the lesson and what I handed out to you with regard to the different kinds of things that you can do, one of the things that I talked about in the lesson was thinking about different types of studies, whether it's topical studies or Old Testament, New Testament. I think you can, you know, there's lots of different studies that you can get involved in that are creating good opportunities to reinforce some of these things that you're talking about. If you got a topic, be able to have, when you look at a specific topic, think about a scripture that you can tie that topic back to. So that it's not just we're going to talk about being kind. We're going to talk about kindness and why kindness is important. And then what is a scripture that you can tie that back to that helps them understand the importance of kindness? You know, or love, or doing something for somebody else, or having God. You know, when I think of having God as the number one priority, I think of Daniel. You know, so what are different people in the Bible that you can tie this character trait to that will help them to say, I want to be like Moses. I want to be like Daniel. I want to be like whoever it might be. So that there's a... Because I can remember when they used to say, okay, well, who do you want to be like when you grow up? Oh, I want to be like Michael Jordan. I want to be... I want to be like whoever. You know, they got all these, you know, pro athletes or whatever that somebody aspires to be like. Wouldn't it be great if your kid said, I want to be like Barnabas? I want to be like Good Samaritan. Good Samaritan. I want to be like, those are the people that I want to be, because that's the kind of character that I want to have in my life. It's the kind of person that I want to be. It's not some guy that's got a $20 million contract for 3 years that's,
Holding out.
I mean, and not reality-based life or human being, but something that is attainable, that is going to please God and not be of this world. So, you know, that's the other thing that I want you to try and think about, and try and get your kids to think about as well. I want you to get them to think about the whole idea with regard to these things of choices. And when you think about topics, that you get them to think about life is about choices. It is about choosing to be this way or that way. It's about choosing to be obedient and serving others and showing love and putting God as our number one priority. And all of the different character traits that we've talked about, that's something they have to choose to want to do.
I just thought of another topic.
Okay.
Based on what you were just talking about. I want to be like blank. And let the child say who they want to be like. Who's somebody in the Bible they want to be like. And then let them explain why.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. You know, it's pretty cool, even if somebody will say to you that you make me, when I think of Bible people in history, and I think of this person when I think of you. That's cool. You know, that if somebody ties you to somebody else that they've read about in the Bible based on something that they've read or they've studied. So, you know, there's lots of opportunities for us to do that. We also want to try and have that in the lives of our children as well. So, you know, pick topics, things that are important, character that's important, that it's a choice for them to take this and make it as part of who they are. At the top of page 5 there, I said these studies should always have some element of a conclusion to the importance of wanting to live a life that will ultimately get us to heaven. If our children don't hear about the importance of living so we will get to heaven in our language, how is it going to be important to them? So, you know, I think that's important to incorporate into all of your study, is to help them understand the importance of heaven being our ultimate goal as we live our lives every day. And then I think it's about also taking these topics and thinking about how that gets applied in their lives every day. So when you have this topic and you're going to talk about serving others, what does that look like? How are we going to serve others today and then get to know that they've actually experienced that, that they've accomplished that? And when you see it happening in their lives, rewarding that in a verbal way so that they know that you've recognized they're trying to make that part of who they are, that it is something that they're taking and employing in their life. What we're trying to do is train their thoughts. We're trying to train their thoughts to make good choices. And the only way that you're going to be able to do that is for you to be doing it yourself. And if these things are not important to you, there is no way in this world it will be important to them. The other point that I made in the outline that I've got there, if your children are older and at school during the day, challenge them to think of ways they can constantly remind themselves about the topic for the week. Challenge them to... background screens. Oh yeah, like have a screen on a computer or whatever the topic of the week is. Some way help them constantly be thinking about what that topic is for the week, or what that word is for the week, or whatever you decide you're going to do. We've got to constantly be feeding our minds with the kinds of things we want to be thinking about, as opposed to getting distracted, being led by everybody else. Because if you don't, it can be a real problem. So I want to go over to the last page because I want to be able to get some of this in before we get finished. We've got about 5 minutes left. I kind of like this idea on page 6 up there at the top of the page. It says you got to do what works best for you, but some maybe different ways to get everybody involved. Maybe after you get some of these topics rolling, like you know Dave and Casey are talking about, and especially if your kids are a little bit older, have everybody write something on a piece of paper and put it in the middle of the table, and have everybody draw one of the sheets out that they read whatever they get. Then they have the person that wrote on it explain what they wrote on the paper. So you can have different people talking about different things. If there's four of you, everybody throws a sheet of paper in the deal. If it's Joey and you know his family, yeah, Kim, yeah, I know. So y'all would have the four, and you throw something in there, and you get each one of you to explain what that thing was that you wrote about. So you might draw Kay's Kim. And then you want Kay to explain to you what he's talking about. So just whatever you can do to engage them, get them to think, get them involved, get them talking to you. If your children are smaller, maybe you use a whiteboard or coloring pencils or whatever you use with them artistically. Let them have a topic at the top of the paper for the week and then add different things each day about what they are learning about that topic. So like maybe it's a thing that goes on the refrigerator. You've got this word, obedience, or whatever it might be. And then you write different things they're learning about obedience every day. Just whatever works for you. Be creative, but get them engaged. Make sure that they're involved. All right, so the conclusion that I've said here at the end of the lesson is this. The following are some of the main points that we should be thinking about regarding Bible study and the importance it has in our lives as parents, but also as the lives of our children. You have been given a precious soul to oversee. When that child came into this world, you took on the responsibility of that soul. How are you doing in helping them learn how to navigate the waters of life? B, you have the responsibility every day of helping to direct their lives. C, you have to understand that your actions made many times will be reflected in their actions either now or later in life. And that's good or bad. D, you have the most valuable resource available in the world today in God's Word, the Bible. Don't let it just be something that collects dust on the table or in the window of your car. E, you've got the ability to influence them even when you don't realize that they're watching. F, you have the responsibility to train them regarding content that they're consuming in life and what ultimately makes them as individuals. Just a little sidebar on that comment that I was making about the pornography issue. Just in some of the study that I've done and some of the conversations that I've had with people that know a lot more about it than I do, they're saying that when young guys get a smartphone in their hand, or even if they don't have a smartphone, and they've got friends that do, age 10, young boys are being exposed to pornography. So process that. And understand that if you're not having conversations with your children about the world that we live in, and how we are not going to be a part of that world even though we live in it. They have to figure those things out by themselves. So be aware. Don't kid yourself about what you think they might not be exposed to in the world that we live in today. G, you've got to be the example and the deeds that you do that reflect what you learn from God's Word and how you implement it in your life at home, work, school, church, and every aspect of how we live. And H, you have to train their minds to help them make great godly decisions when they're away from you and you can't see what they're doing. You've got to train them to be good thinkers. You've got to give them the resources to understand what's right and what's wrong, and then to be able to make a good choice. Does that mean they're going to make a good choice every time? No, they're not. Did y'all make good choices every time? No, you didn't. I'll answer it for you. No, nobody does. But the better foundation you lay for them for how they make choices, about what God expects from us to please Him with regard to what it talks about.